Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Every single one of us has stuff that we've gone through that we think about, like, God, why have we gone through this thing? God, what is the reason that I feel like that I'm like trudging through this mud, or that I did in this season? Or, you know, maybe, you know, it's like I felt like something was happening. I was supposed to do something, but it didn't seem like it worked out. You know, even in a natural way, you know, Pastor Tori and I, just through this past, I don't know, it's been a while, but through this last year, it felt like God's like releasing us from where we were living. And I know it's like, what does that even mean? But like, we just did not want to move at all. Like, not one bit. And we've been there for 14 years and love our house, and it's been amazing. And just felt this thing. And so we just kind of were looking around and having just thoughts of like what we could do, where we could go. And for months, there was this process that we were going on. And we even found like a little property that was like, oh, hey, we could build a house, you know, all this stuff. And we were trying to figure out, and I don't know if anybody has, I've never done that before, but it's not easy. It is not easy to buy a property and then like figure out all the stuff that needs to happen before you can even build a house, you know, and then how all that stuff works out. And I didn't even get to the point of like what's going to go in the house, because that, oh my Lord. And so we're on this process, just thinking, dreaming, and going like down this path. And it came to a point where it felt like there was just a hard stop. It was just, nope, this isn't it. And it was a little bit of a struggle, if I could be completely honest, that you're feeling something or you're moving forward. And it can be one of many different things, not just that or like moving or whatever, like any kind of situation, but I'm just talking about that you feel like something's moving forward and then it's just not. It goes away. And all of a sudden what comes up in us is like this struggle of like, okay, wait, was I wrong? Was God wrong? Well, okay. So I was wrong, because God doesn't ever get it wrong. Or was it wrong at all? Maybe it wasn't a problem. Maybe it wasn't an issue. And so that's kind of where this is coming from, that we go through these moments and how we walk through them in the moment and how we walk out of them, how we see them, it makes a huge difference. So like, how do we see our failures? How do we see these difficulties that we may walk through, or maybe even a grief, a loss? How do we internalize what do we go through when that's happening, and what direction does our mind and our heart go in that moment? In Psalm 84:5, it says, "What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessing. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem." So in this scripture, you have this kind of thing that's leading us on, and it's like, wow, what joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. You know, like that's just going to be some easy, it's like blacktop, and it's only like 30 feet away, you know, it's just easy. To follow the Lord, to go to where he is calling us to. to follow his leading. It's, you know, and it's like, yeah, God, isn't that going to just be perfect and easy and nothing ever happening? And it isn't. And I'm sorry to say, it's not. But then in verse 6, when it says, when they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. And in the Passion Translation, I think it is, it says, when others find pain, they will find pools of blessing. When others find pain, find only pain, they will find pools of blessing. And I'm thinking about this scripture and thinking about how we see what we are walking through, how we see that valley that we're going through. Because, you know, it always feels like the valley. You know, the kids went to camp and they were talking about the different churches that were there. And there's like mountain movers, mountain, you know, goers, mountain this, mountain that, you know. And I was like, where's the church that's like valley of weeping, you know? Give me one of those. But, you know, the valley is like, that place is like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to name my church that. We're up on the mountain. We're up high. We could see everything, you know? And, but in these moments that we walk through, in these valleys, those places are where we can find the greatest blessing of our lives. Those places are where we can find the greatest understanding and revelation of who God is. And those places are where we can feel and experience the power of God. I'm going to tell you, whenever I'm up and doing well and nothing's going wrong, it's a little, I'm going to say it for myself because I'm not going to call you out or anybody else out, but it's a little easy to think that you're doing it on your own, you're doing good, and to stop trusting God or relying on Him like we should. So to me, and God help me not go through valleys every single day of my life, but to me, it's like, I'm almost like, man, I would want to go through the lower moments. I would want to walk through the things just to be with God, just to not rely on myself in my own strength, but to rely on who He is. That's where I want to be. Now, of course, I don't want to walk through struggle every day of my life. But I want my mind to be in the right place. I want us to be in the place where we are constantly looking to Him. That we are constantly pointing ourselves to where He is and trusting Him and His leading. So how do we see those dark valleys, those valleys of weeping is what it says. Because then this, it says they find pleasant pools. There's these springs of refreshing that come. And it, you know me, I'm a visual person. Like, things just pop up visually for me. And I'm like, you know what? I can see us in that moment. And there's two kinds of people. There's some that are going to be clawing their way out, trying to get out. And there's others that are going to just be digging deep. You know, I'm thinking about that. It's like, can we take that moment where it's the valley. The mountain's on this side, the mountain's on that side. There's a valley. It's dark. We don't really know what's going on or how things are going to work out. And you wouldn't really think to dig down deeper, would you? To like dig down. And I'm not talking about to dig in the dirt. I'm talking about now digging into who God is. Digging into His presence. Not trying to claw our way out, but digging down deep with God. if we can take that moment and not be scared and try to just turn the other way or climb our way out, but if we can just, you know, it's so hard to relax in those times. It's so hard to just have peace in those times when there's uncertainty or something going on. But think about it. Next time that we're going through something, let's just take that time and just be like, I'm at peace. I know who I am. I know who God is. I'm going to actually just spend some time with God right here in this moment that I'm in. Nothing else matters. But I want to look at David. In Acts 13, in verse 22, it says, but God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And it is one of King David's descendants, Jesus, who is God's promised Savior of Israel. So all of a sudden, God's saying, this is a man after my own heart. He'll do everything that I ask him to do. And in this scripture, we read this, we're like, oh my gosh, David, he was perfect. He did everything right. Look, God looked at him and said, this is the perfect guy. But that's not the case, is it? He wasn't perfect. He screwed up, like royally. He was royalty, he screwed up. But anyway, he was a king. And he messed up big time. He started sinning. Lusting after some dude's wife and then having the dude killed. I mean, he really messed up. Messed up big time. So what is it? And God said, this is a guy that I like. He's awesome. I love this guy. He's going to do everything that I say. What is it about David? And I think the thing is about David is that whenever he sinned. And I can't tell you, I'm not going to go into the details like how long it took, but he came to a place of repentance. He always came to a place of repentance with God. And I love that this story is here for us, and it shows that God loved him, looked at him so fondly, and he said, look, this guy, he's going to do everything that I say. And he messed up. Because it shows us that we can't be perfect, but it shows us we don't have to, because so many times we strive to be perfect and do everything right in just the right way. Like somehow we can live a perfect life, that I can do it all. I can do it all just right. And that's not what God's asking. And he's not saying, hey, just go do whatever you want and sin whatever you want. He's saying, try the best you can to follow my commandments, to do my will, to spend your time with me, not sinning, not doing all these things. But if you mess up, there's forgiveness for that. Are you going to come with a heart of repentance? Are you going to come to me and have that heart of that repentant heart? When we go down deeper in this story in 1 Samuel 17, it says, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, so he's over here, right? He's the shepherd. He's the younger brother. He's like with the sheep. His brothers are out at war, got all their, you know, gear, their shield, their sword. David's the shepherd. He's got a little slingshot, you know. He's, you know, just this little dude. But he comes up to bring his brother some food and to just check in on him. And his brothers are standing there scared just like everybody else because of a giant named Goliath that's standing in front of them. So David says, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So you have little David here coming up in the midst of these warriors, these men that are a part of the army, right? They're supposed to be like these dudes, tough, battle ready. And he's coming up like, hey, you want some bread or cheese? I got some bread. He's like, what is it that's going to be done for the guy that rids Israel of this uncircumcised? What is he saying when he's like, he makes a point to say this uncircumcised Philistine, and he's not like making a point like, hey, what? Okay, we're not going there. But he's saying that there's a fundamental difference between this Goliath and this army that's standing in front of us and who we are. There's a fundamental difference between us. And you know what that is? There's a covenant that God has with us. That we have God on our side and they don't. He says, who is this guy that doesn't have a covenant with God standing up against God's army? There was some power. And look, I just imagine him coming in to this place where these dudes standing around, all the tough guys, right? I mean, it had to be just all the tough guys. And little old David comes in, he's like speaking with such power and with such strength. So what's going to be done for the guy that takes care of this guy, this Goliath? They're like, Saul's going to give him everything he wants, his daughter and riches and everything. It's just everything you want. And he's like, well, let's go. Let's do this. These guys, their knees are shaking. They're scared, all standing around. But there's something different about David. There's a strength in him. What is that? And you know, so I was talking about this uncircumcised Philistine, this covenant that David and the armies of God had. And David understands what that means. I think that all those other guys, they just forgot what that meant. You know, in our group of guys, a small group, we're talking, and David actually. David actually came and brought up this revelation that God had, like, just spoken to him about Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, you know, it's God, my banner. He's my banner. What does that mean? We had talked about it quite a bit. And that word, you're like, oh, it's a banner. Yeah, it's like wave my flag high. Yeah, whatever. But you really know what that, like, when you're talking about a battle banner, you're talking about God's banner. Do you know what that means? A banner is for people that are walking with it and underneath it, that gives them the strength of knowing who they are fighting with, right? It's also for people that are coming up against that army because they see that banner and say, they know who they are. They know what they've accomplished and what they've done. And when you say Jehovah Nissi, God, my banner, we know it's like what he's done, what he's accomplished, who he is. And when the enemy comes and sees that banner held high, Jehovah Nissi, he sees that banner and he runs scared, right? It's a gathering point in the armies. It's you gather around it. You follow its direction. You know where to come back to. You know who you're fighting with. And I believe in this moment, David is saying, look, do you know who you're fighting for? You're fighting for God, and you're fighting with God's enemy. Can we stand strong? Why is he so confident? I believe it's because he had been in that valley of weeping like we talked about earlier on. That valley, he had gone through those moments before and God had gotten him through those moments. And he dug deep in God and he found those pools of blessing. In 1 Samuel 17:32, it says, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I mean, this dude's got some struggles, you know? He's got some stuff that he's had to go through. When a lion, where does he live anyway? They got lions and bears. Oh, my. When a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after. Wait a second. A lion and a bear, they come, they grab a sheep out of the flock, and he's like, let's go. Let's do this. How many of us would just run after a lion? Like, he's not even talking about a wolf. He's not talking about a dog. He's talking about a lion and a bear. And he says, I went out after it, and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, he's like, I got the lamb out of its mouth, and then it tries to come and attack me. And I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this Philistine, this uncircumcised, this Philistine that does not have a covenant with God, will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. See, he comes to Goliath in this moment. And I want to take and get a couple of different like angles at this, because he comes to Goliath after he had defeated both a lion and a bear, which is crazy to think. But he's tending the sheep. He's sitting there. Now, you know, sheep just wandering along, all this stuff. Things are going good. How many times in our life we're like, you know, things are good. The sheep are happy. Things are peaceful. And then something comes along to attack our peace. Something comes along to attack this peaceful moment that we feel like we're having with God. So in this moment, David runs out, of course, kills the lion, kills the bear. But my question is like, what do you think that his feelings were in the moment of killing the lion and the bear? I don't know. But if he was anything like us, I think in those moments, he's probably like, oh, God, why is this happening? You know, he didn't know he was being prepared to defeat a Goliath. He didn't know that he was walking through situations that were going to strengthen his resolve in who God is. And now when I think about that, I think about me. I think about us. Like whenever we walk through something that is a little tough, or it's a struggle, or we feel like there's an attack, what do we think in that moment? Because we might not know what our Goliath is way ahead. But can we understand that God is with us, and in each of these situations, he is preparing us for greatness, for the great things that he's called us to? I mean, David, he was a young dude, you know? Think about it. He might have even been complaining that his brothers got to go out to war, and he just had to tend the sheep and stick around, you know, doing the piddly little things. The problem is that so many times in our situations or where we're at right now at this moment, we don't see what God sees. His brothers were away at war, not learning anything. Really, actually, they were. They were learning how to be scared. He was tending the sheep, learning how to trust God and learning how to be strong and fight against the biggest enemies that could come against us, right? So how do we see the moment that we're in? You see, oh, look, those guys are all out there doing that thing. And God says, I'm training you for battle. He says, look, don't look at somebody. How do we see ourselves compared to others in their situations or what they're doing or what God's doing in them? Well, really, you shouldn't compare yourself. You just shouldn't. So many times we do that. We compare ourselves to others. But there's no reason whatsoever that you should ever do that. And this is a perfect example of why. Oh, look, they got the battle armor on. They're just up there, standing up there with the army, those, you know, arm in arm with those other big guys, all that stuff. That's how we sound like that sometimes. Look at what they're doing. Look at where they're at. And God is saying, you know what I'm doing with you? Do you know in this place that might not seem like a lot has happened, but you've actually had more training than that person with all that armor on that looks like they're doing all that stuff? Maybe they just bought that armor on Craigslist. I don't know. They're probably just acting like they're fighting something. I'm training you for battle. We have to recognize that God will use our past or our present to strengthen us for future battles. Oh, man. Okay. All of his past was preparing him for this important moment. This moment that showed not who David was, but who God was. But because of the fact that David was walking with God, because he had found those places of blessing, those brooks or those springs in the valley, that he was with God. And because of that, in this moment, he knew that no matter what happened, God was with him. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. You know, we think sometimes, and going back to that story I was telling you about, it's like, oh, it was such a waste, you know? We spent time thinking about moving and buying another place. We spent time. I could give you story after story, probably, that I could say something like this about. God, why did we do that? That was months of thought and preparation and trying to figure things out, and then it didn't actually happen. It is wasted. And you know, Pastor Tori and I came to this moment where we said, listen, nothing is wasted. Nothing is ever wasted. Now, I don't know what that is preparing me for, or Tori, or us, like our family. I don't know how it's preparing us, but what I can do is I can dig deep in that and say, God, I know that you're there. I know that you're speaking, and I know that you can use this moment that we walked through, that we were doing this stuff to figure out about moving. It was not that big of a deal, but in the moment, it just felt hard, you know, for it to come to a complete halt. And I can say, God, I know that you can use even that silly little thing that I got frustrated about, that I felt, you know, that I lost something. You know, it's like, you know, something you didn't even have it, and you felt like you lost it. It's not even in your hand. It's just something you wanted, maybe, or you desired. I don't know. You're like, I, and then you have this grief and this loss, and God's like, you didn't even have it. God uses these things that we walk through also to bring boldness to those around us. In Philippians, Paul says, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, he says, all these brothers, all these people, all you guys, he's like, and I know that you've become confident in who God is because of my imprisonment. And I think about that, and like, man, can I speak with such strength and peace in a moment that I'm walking through to say, I know that not only is God teaching me something or preparing me for something in the future, I know that me in this moment is helping to give strength and confidence and courage to those around me in this moment because they can see what God is doing even in the midst of this valley. And there's this scripture, Romans 8:28, and probably heard it so many times. You know, God works all things together for the good of those who love him. God works all things together for the good. How many times have we heard that verse quoted? Probably a billion times more than it's actually believed. It's quoted so much, it's almost annoying. God works. I've said it before. I've said it up here before. And I'm not saying it's not a good verse or a good scripture. It's amazing. But the problem is that we don't walk in the understanding of what it really means, and we don't actually believe it in the moment that we're walking through. And I just want to take this verse and I just get it tattooed on me, you know? It's like, you believe it. This isn't just something that was thrown in there as just like an afterthought. There isn't a scripture that's thrown in there as an afterthought. That whenever you are walking through something and it's a struggle or it's tough, whenever we go through a season, we don't know exactly why we're walking through it and we're wondering why. And we say, well, I'm going to give up. Well, I'm just going to turn around and go the other way. And we don't see who God is in that moment. And this whole message today is to hopefully encourage us that nothing is wasted, that nothing that we've gone through, nothing we've been through, nothing you're going through right now will ever be wasted. It will only be used to prepare us for those things that God is calling us to. If we can dig deep in Him in the moment and find that blessing, find that presence, find Him in that thing that we're walking through. And then we can say that scripture and believe it, that He will work all things out for the good of those who love Him. That's who He is. That's who my God is. That He doesn't leave us or forsake us. He doesn't lead us the wrong direction. He doesn't turn His back on us. He's a good God. He's our Father. And He says, come, find me. Find me and find those pools of blessing. Amen. Would you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.